3 John, verse number 1 says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." And I'd like you to mark the last few words found there in verse number 8, fellow helpers to the truth. And I want to talk about that this evening, how we can be a fellow helper to the truth. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I pray and plead with thee that thou will meet with us this evening. And God, work in my heart, work in my lips. I pray that I'll say the things that thou would want me to say and nothing else. I pray that you remove flesh and pride, arrogance, anything that would hinder your word from going forth. And God, may you be present tonight. I pray you bless these people in a mighty way. Bless this church. Thank you so much for it. And we pray that you'll be glorified in everything that's said and done. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. John is writing to a man named Gaius. We see that in the very first verse. And I like Gaius. Not much is known about Gaius. But from what we see here, we find out that Gaius was a good man. Historians think that Gaius was just an average Christian, as we would call a layman. He didn't hold any position or title within the church, but he was a faithful man. And that's all that matters. God is not looking for somebody great and grand, somebody full of intelligence or talent. No, all he's looking is for somebody that's faithful and obedient. And that's who Gaius was. He was a faithful man. He loved the Lord. And we see his characteristic, just by way of introduction, found in verse number 2. John says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So the thing we find out about Gaius is that this was a man whose spiritual health far exceeded, or maybe even was equal to, his own physical health. And I think that's a wonderful statement, to think that this man, he did all he could to put into his spiritual health, and probably at the expense of his own physical health. You know, in our modern day, people today would say that's kind of crazy. You've got to take care of your body. You've got to exercise. You've got to eat good. You've got to live the good life, have the good job, and maybe have a good family. All these good things. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, I don't exercise. I'm so sorry. I wished I did more of it. But if you do that, then that's great. God's not going to condemn you for trying to take care of your body. I believe we should do that. But the problem is, many times we emphasize those things to the lack of our spiritual health. So many Christians do all they can to get the good job, get the raise, have the good family, have the nice house and the nice car, and all those things are good. But don't let it be a lack to your spiritual life. Gaius, his spiritual life was far greater than his spiritual life was far greater than his physical life, the prosperity of the soul. And as we're going through here, John says in verse 8 that he is commending these people, the church that Gaius attended, and he's admonishing that they continue to be fellow helpers to the truth. And I believe that we all can learn something from Gaius's life and the church that he attended. These were great people that did a great work for God. They were fellow helpers to the truth. Each and every one of us can do our part in doing the work that God has given us here on this earth and here in this local church. And I believe that we need to stop delegating our responsibility to certain people, maybe your pastor, assistant pastor, song leader, to the missionary. No, those are all good and established positions, but we all need to get involved in doing our part. God will bless somebody who's faithful. God will bless somebody who says yes to whatever task that is presented to them. Let's be fellow helpers to the truth. And there's three things I want to give you real quick. I won't be long, I promise. And I know I'm a Baptist, and so I'm not trying to lie to you at all. But I will do my part in getting you out of here quickly. But the very first thing I want you to see, if we're going to be fellow helpers to the truth, we need to understand our place in the ministry. Our place in the ministry. Let's read verse 5. John says, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well." See, this was the ministry. And who do we minister to? Verse 5, we see that this church ministered to the brethren and to the strangers. See, it's good to come to church. It's good to have fellowship together with the brethren. And what a wonderful thing is to dwell in unity here in this local church. And we can fellowship and have a wonderful time together. But let me ask you, what are you doing outside of these walls as you minister to the strangers? That's where the work really starts. And so many times that work outside of these walls can be the most difficult. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. We find Paul here is talking about the ministry. He's giving an account of when he met the Corinthians for the first time and the position that he was in, the things he was going through. And we learn that the ministry can be difficult. And a man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble, Job said. And I wish I can say that being part in the ministry is a wonderful thing, and it is. But it can be full of problems. And let's talk about this in here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 8, it says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of a life. But we had the sentence of death on ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead." Look at verse 11. "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word." Look at verse number 8 and 9. Look at the things that Paul went through for the cause of Christ. We find in other places where he was beaten with stripes, with many stripes, and shipwrecked and rejected by his own people. The ministry is difficult. But if we're going to have a successful ministry, and I hate to use that word success, because God doesn't put emphasis on success, he puts emphasis on obedience. And we may not see the success like we would want to see it, but we still have to be obedient. But if we are going to have success in the ministry, there's three things we see here that we just read. The first thing we need to see is that we need to trust in the power of God. Verse number 9 says that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. You may face those difficulties. You may face the hardships of trying to minister to people who do not want to hear about the gospel. But guess what? It's not by your own strength that you're going to reach them. No, it's by the power of God. That miraculous work that is done through you as you're ministering to people who need to hear about Jesus Christ. Such a wonderful thought, to trust in the power of God. But not only that, we need to help each other in prayer. Verse number 11 says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." D.L. Moody once said, if it doesn't begin in prayer, it will end in failure. And so if you want to begin the ministry, let's say you're not involved right now, but if you want to begin in the ministry and do something for God and for His glory, well, guess what? Start with prayer. Get with people you know. And oh, what a wonderful thing is when brethren could come together and pray for each other. Such a powerful thing. But then we see the last thing. We see if we're going to have a successful ministry, the third thing is we need to preach in simplicity and sincerity. Verse 12 says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. Simplicity and godly sincerity. You know, the gospel is not complicated. The gospel is not difficult. You may say, I'm just a new Christian. And you may not know that all the doctrines of the Word of God. And you may not know, memorized a lot of verses. But let me ask you something. Do you have a story? Has God changed your life? You know, you can just share the story, that what God's done in your life. If you know one verse, God can use that verse to work in a person's heart and change them. This is the ministry. But then go back to our text in 3 John. We saw the ministry, ministering to the brethren and to the strangers. But the second thing I want you to see is found in verse number 7 there in 3 John. It says, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. And I want you to mark those words at the beginning of the verse. It says, because that for his name's sake. And the second thing we see is our motive. We see our ministry to the brethren and to the strangers, but the second thing is our motive. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you involved in the ministry? It's for his namesake. Why do you come to church? Why do you faithfully attend the house of God? Why do you go door knocking? Why do you try to be a testimony to the people on your job or in your at your home and maybe there in your neighborhood? Why do you do those things? Why do you dress a certain way? Why do you talk a certain way? Why do you listen to certain things that are pleasing to God? Why do you do all these things? Is it for yourself? Is it to please your pastor? Or maybe somebody here in the church, to make your name known in the church? No, it should be for his name's sake and his name's sake alone. Kelly and I are going to Germany. We're going to leave this wonderful country and we're going across the ocean to minister to German-speaking people. Very reclusive people. People are very hard to get to know. And we're not going for them. No. I would love to see thousands of Germans come to Christ. I would love to see Germany become a center for world evangelism once again. But that's not why we're going. You know why we're going? We're going for his name's sake. God has commanded us to go. He's called us to go. Let me ask you. Why are you doing what you're doing? What is your motive? Please do it for Jesus Christ and him alone. For his name's sake. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The ministry, it's to the brethren and to the strangers. But your motive, it's for his name's sake. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 14, very powerful verse. And I'd like you to mark these words and found in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Does the love of Christ constrain you to do what you're doing in the ministry? I pray that we have the cross firmly fixed in our view, that we are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We see the ministry. We see our motive. But lastly, we need to look at our message. Understand the message that we have. Go back to 3 John. 3 John, verse number 8. Here in our text verse, we see 3 John, verse 8 says, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to, what are those last two words? The truth. That's our message. You look in verse 1, we see the word the truth. In verse number 3, twice the words the truth are found. Verse number 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You keep going down. Verse number 8, we just read that. Verse 12, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. This whole book is about the truth. All 14 verses. That's the message that we have, is the truth. It is the truth that changes people's lives. It is the gospel that is powerful to change the life of a sinner. It's not what I'm doing. It's not what I can say, but it is the power of God unto salvation. Let me ask you tonight, are you preaching the truth as you go in your workplace, as you're with your family and your friends, as you're here in this church? Are you preaching the truth? We don't have to change the truth. I love that song that was sang. That old truth, the old story there. That's a wonderful thing, that to know that this has never changed and it never will change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can trust in it. The world will change. Man will change its ways. But God stays the same. And His word is settled forever in heaven. And we don't need to change anything or paint it up or make it different. No, it's the truth. And it's what changes people's lives. It's our message. And if we're going to be a fellow helper to the truth, then guess what? We need to preach the truth. And you may say, well, I'm not called to preach. Well, I believe God has called certain men to stand behind the sacred desk. Your pastor is called to stand behind here. And there's that special calling to be called to preach. But I believe that word preached goes to every one of us. It's to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you have a story? Can you share that with somebody who's never heard? Can you tonight, can you be a fellow helper to the truth? If you're not, I pray tonight that you can settle that with God. Because He's looking for people who are sold out for Him, who will be a fellow helper to the truth, to get His message to a lost and dying world. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much for the opportunity to preach Your word. And Lord, this humble servant has no power or no strength to do anything or say anything to change the lives of people in this building. God, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us, myself included, will be obedient to what the Holy Spirit has for us. And God, do a mighty work in the hearts and lives of people here. Bless this church in a mighty way. Thank You so much for this church. Bless Pastor Ross and bless this invitation. We pray these things in Your name. Amen.